This is KAYT, Gina. Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Glory to God. You can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. As I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, actually about 3 weeks ago, that I was going to be teaching a series on faith and strengthening our faith specifically. How to build it, how to strengthen it, how to make it stronger than what it is, how to grow it and increase it. So that's what we're talking about. And in verse number 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we know that God is who he said he is, and we know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He just rewards those who diligently seek him. He just does that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So as a justified one, that means you've been saved and born again and justified, cleared of all your guilt and sin and shame. God expects us to live by faith. And so we're going to talk about strengthening your faith in the name of Jesus. We're going to talk about faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. How to strengthen your faith in his name. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 6, verse number 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And Stephen, full of faith. Everybody say, full of faith. When we're talking about making your faith strong, we're talking about you coming to a place where you're full of faith. That means when you're full of faith, you're empty of doubt. You're empty of fear. It means all doubt has run out of you. You've been emptied out. There's no more doubt. There's no more fear. Amen. There's no more unbelief in you. That faith has taken up residence where there used to be unbelief and where there used to be doubt and where there used to be wandering and questioning. You can literally get to a place where you are full of confidence and full of boldness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And where you are full of faith. Amen. And where you are overflowing in faith, where you have an abundance of faith. And Paul told the Thessalonian church, he said, your faith is growing exceedingly. It's gone beyond the boundary. So there's no limit to how much faith you can have. Jesus never limited. He never rebuked anybody for having too much faith. The greater the faith, the better. The stronger the faith, the better. But he did rebuke people for not having enough. He said, oh, ye of little faith. So little faith is not good because little faith receives little from God, and God's got a big heart, and he wants you to receive a whole bunch from him. And so if you're going to receive a whole lot from him, he wants you to have great faith. You got to increase the faith that you have so that you can believe God to have all the things that he desires for you to have. Sometimes we think God's holding back, but it ain't God holding back. It's our unbelief is in the way. Sometimes unbelief gets in the way of your blessing because we're not trusting him with our full heart. We're not trusting him with our whole heart. And we know Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord how? With all your heart, with everything in you, that's full of faith. That's a picture of full faith. And what? Lean not to your own understanding. There's another hindrance right there. Lean into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That word direct means, it means to make smooth. God knows how to make smooth your path. Because when you're walking with him, when you start living by faith, that don't mean everything around you is settled down. It just means that you settle down on the inside. I mean, you know, you need to have, keep your composure. Keep the peace of God flowing on the inside. Even though there might be storms on the outside, things can be raging on the outside. You just don't let it get on the inside. Keep your peace on the inside. Keep your faith strong. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Everybody say, I want to be full of faith. Say, I'm heading toward a full tank. Lord, fill her up. Now, how do you get more faith? How do you get more faith? You say, well, I don't have enough faith. Well, how do you get some more? How does faith come? By hearing and what? Hearing and hearing by what? By hearing gun smoke. By hearing and hearing by Bonanza. By hearing and hearing by Judge Judy. By hearing and hearing by the days of our life. By hearing and hearing by the young and the restless. Now, that ain't how faith comes. See, ain't a bit of faith going to come to you while you watching all that stuff. Now, I ain't saying nothing wrong with watching it. I'm just saying ain't no faith going to come to you that way by hearing what Judge Judy got to say or what Ben Cartwright got to say or even what Marsha Dillon got to say about it. Ain't no faith going to come to you because ain't none of them speaking the word. Right? You ain't going to get no faith watching Barney Fife. He full of fear. You know, Barney Fife full of fear. He's a walking fearmonger. So if you want to be full of faith, then you got to position yourself where you're hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Amen. And it's best if you hear yourself saying it. It's okay for you to hear other people speaking the word because God put teachers and pastors and stuff in the body of Christ and, you know, other ministry gifts. We encourage one another. The Bible says that. So you can get encouraged by hearing it. But, you know, sometimes you got to encourage yourself. The best way to get it is for you to hear it yourself. So let God make the word real to you on the inside. Amen. Praise God. So if I want more faith, if I want my faith to grow strong, then I'm going to have to feed more on the word and less on other things. Some of y'all need to trim your social diet. I ain't talking about what you eat. I'm talking about how you spend your time. Some of you are spending too much time on social media. Everybody just say, ouch. And we won't even know who I'm talking about. If everybody say ouch, see, if just one person say ouch, then we know we're talking about you. Everybody just say ouch, and we'll cover for everybody. But, we'll, you know, love will cover the multitude of sin. Amen. All of us got to lay aside some weights and some things so that we can make more room for the word. If we want to get to a place where we're full of faith, then you're going to lay down some worldly things. Amen. And some things that just satisfy and nurture your flesh. You just got to lay some stuff down. You got to get serious about the word and say, you know what I'm facing? I need more faith. The only way I'm going to get it is I got to spend more time with God. You remember I shared a few weeks ago, that all low-grade faith is also the product of low-grade fellowship? Because you can't understand the word without the Holy Ghost. If you could just get in there and read it and get it, then you wouldn't even need the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, I'm going to send somebody to you that's going to teach you. That means you got to spend time with him. So you got to have the word and you got to have the spirit if you want your faith to be strong. Because it's the Holy Spirit who quickens the word to us. He's the one that teaches us the word. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Stephen was full of faith and power, and he did what? Great wonders and miracles among the people. Why was he able to do great wonders and great miracles? Because he stayed full of faith and power. So that means that if you go behind the scenes, you can see that this man had a love for the word. Because faith don't come without the word. I mean, you know that the foundation for faith is the word of God. Amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's his word. So you can tell that Stephen loved the word of God. And then if you look at the sermon that he preached before he died, he told the whole history of Israel. He told all the major events. And the Bible says they couldn't resist the wisdom by which he spoke because he was so full of the word. The reason he was full of faith was because he was full of the word. Amen. There will be no mighty acts or displays of power, signs, and wonders without an understanding of the authority that you have as a believer through the name of Jesus. Amen? So you have the word as a weapon, because faith comes by the word, but the revelation, I'm going to say the word gives us the revelation of the authority and the power that's in the name. You wouldn't know about the name if it wasn't in the word. So praise God. So when we start talking about the name of Jesus, there's a revelation that comes through the word. When we speak of having faith in the name of Jesus, we're speaking about using the name of Jesus in many areas of our life. So the name is not just confined to one area of your life. I'm telling you, you can use that name in any arena. And just to name a few, we use that name in prayer. Because that name gives us access to the Holy of Holies or the presence of God. We use that name in worship because we bow to the name of Jesus and we give thanks to the Father in his name. We use that name in salvation, in our ministry to the lost and to one another. We use that name in healing because it releases the power of God into our life. We use that name in deliverance from demonic oppression and strongholds, and we're able to drive devils away. Because of that name, amen, and the word, because the revelation of the name come from the word. So it's the word and the name working together. They're actually one in the same. Hallelujah. So we have to have an understanding about the name of Jesus, because a lot of times you hear people say in the name of Jesus and don't nothing happen. They have no faith. You just can't use the name of Jesus like a good luck charm. And just add it to everything you're saying in the name of Jesus, but you ain't releasing no faith. There's no expectation. There's no confidence. There's something about the change. You're just using it as a vain repetition. Because, you know, without faith, you can't please God. So when you're using the name, you had to use it in faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have to have a basic understanding of the authority and power that's in the name of Jesus. Now, let me just share some things with you about the name. Number one, the name is a name. The name of Jesus is a name above all names. Philippians 2:9 says that God has highly exalted Christ, Jesus, and has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, whether they be beings in heaven, beings in earth, and beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we know that there's no name greater than the name of Jesus. It is the highest name in the universe. If you really want to get right down to it, all the redemptive names of Jesus in the Old Covenant, like Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Shalom, all of those names have been rolled into one name, Jesus. Because Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our salvation. So you see that? So God took all of those names and he put them in one name. And it is the name of salvation. That name has authority in every arena. In heaven, that name is recognized as the supreme authority. That name in heaven, people bow down in heaven. They confess Jesus is Lord in heaven. Didn't it say it? Every knee should bow, whether it be beings in heaven. So beings in heaven, they hear that name, they go on the ground. Beings in earth that understand the power and the authority of that name, bow down to that name. Now, I won't bow to no other name. I ain't gonna bow to Buddha. I ain't gonna bow to Muhammad. I ain't gonna bow to the Virgin Mary. I ain't gonna bow to Hare Krishna. I ain't gonna bow to Mr. Moon or Mr. Sun. But I will bow down to Jesus. I'll put both knees down when I bow down to him. I'll bow my knee to Jesus, but I ain't bowing down for Muhammad. So that name has authority in heaven, is recognized. That name is recognized in earth among those who have the revelation given to them by the Holy Ghost. They reverence that name. See, when people, TV, something bad happened, Jesus Christ, it's like a cuss word. See, they ain't got no revelation. See, they just picked up something somewhere else and they don't realize what they're saying. They are using his name in vain. Because they are using his name without any faith attached to it. And that name is recognized even under the earth. I'm going to say in the dark regions of the universe, that name carries some weight. It pack a punch. And not only do every knee bow, and it's a coming day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess and going to come out of their mouth, hey, Jesus is Lord. Even the ones that don't want to confess it, it's just going to come up out of them. They're going to have to say it in so much glory and so much authority, they're just going to say, he, Lord. he, Lord, I can't do nothing about it. He just Lord. They ain't going to be able to do nothing. Nobody can do anything about this. This doesn't happen. God has highly exalted him, has already given him this name that's above every name. And then number two, it is an excellent name. Now, excellent means that the name is supreme and that it is exalted. In Psalms 148, verse 13, it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone, his name all by itself, is excellent. It is exalted and supreme. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. I'm going to tell you, this name pack a punch. There's a power and authority in it like no other. His name alone is excellent. Then Psalms 8:1, the Amplified Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, majestic, and glorious is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory on or above the heavens. So Jesus' name is a very powerful name, and it has to be honored and respected. In Acts 4:12, the scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There ain't no other name that can save you. There's only one name that a person can get saved in, and it's Jesus. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other. I show you the awesome power, the respect, and the glory that name carries, that you can't get saved in nobody else's name but his. That's how much the Father has honored him and highly exalted him, that you can't get saved in nobody else's name. it ain't gonna happen. You can call all day long, all night. You can call for 15 years on some other name, and you ain't gonna get nothing. It's only the name of Jesus. So because of that, because his name is vastly superior and more powerful than any other name in the universe, then we have to honor and reverence and respect that name and not just use it so lightly and take it so lightly that it don't really mean nothing when we say it. We should only use his name when we mean business. We shouldn't be just flipping it around all over the place, because you lose respect for it. You make it common. You can't treat his name like it's common. His name ain't like everybody else's name. There's something unique about his name that the church is supposed to carry the honor of that name. In fact, the Bible said, let everyone that names the name of Jesus, that means you call yourself that you're a Christian, that you call yourself by his name. He said, let everyone who calls his name, that calls themselves by his name, let them depart from iniquity. Because we're supposed to be carrying the glory of that name. We're supposed to be manifesting the glory of his name. That when we say in the name of Jesus, everything's supposed to come to attention. And people in the world are supposed to say, hey, something happened when they use that name. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know those seven sons of Sceva? This guy was a priest. He had seven sons. And they saw Paul use the name. Because when Paul used the name, something happened. Right? Why? Because Paul, he understands. He's the one who wrote Philippians about the highly exalted. So he's carrying a honor and a respect for that name in his heart and in his soul, that he's only going to use that name when he's going to release his faith. And when he releases his faith in that name, things change. So those boys watched Paul use that name, drive devils out. You know, I mean, that's the highest use of the name, ain't it? Come against something you can't see. Yeah. Come against something in the spirit realm. So they said, this fella, he got a devil. You know, they back then, they recognized demon possession because they brought many people that were possessed with devils to Jesus. They recognized demon possession. They knew when somebody was crazy, had lost their mind, and they wasn't acting normal. They knew the devil had got a hold of them. Now we just think they got a chemical imbalance. They just born that way. You know, some of them people just need the devil cast out of them. I ain't saying all of them, because some of it could be medical. But, you know, a lot of this we passing off as medical is because we don't want to confront the devil that's there. So they fasten up in a house, seven of them, seven on one. We're going to cast the devil out. We command you in the name of Jesus that Paul preach about. See, no personal revelation, no fellowship. I'm coming against you in the one that Paul talking about. The devil said, I know Jesus. I know who Paul is. See, they recognize. They know. They know who got the authority. They know who carrying the glory. They know who's carrying the honor of that name. He said, but who are you? I don't even know who you are. And you know, it's bad when you lock up to cast the devil out of somebody and the devil walked to the door and he locked the door.